ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भुजान एवात्मकृतं विपाकम् हरिद्वाग्वापूर्वीर्विदतां नमस्ते जीवेत्य मुक्तिपते सताय भाक् My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with the heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Purport by the disciples of his divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the principles of bhakti yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word su-samikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord, and therefore the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. The Lord, therefore, creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return back home, back to Godhead. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words, and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words Daya Bhak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the Supreme Pure, Lord Krishna, without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. Tathenukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vibhagam hrigvagvapurvir viditam namaste jivetiya muktapade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Lord Brahmaji, in this most glorious jewel of a verse, is explaining in his prayers to the Lord who it is that is qualified for liberation into the kingdom of God. And as we can see, pure devotional service is not given for any small price. Srila Rupa Goswami has mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that pure devotional service is very, very rare. There is nothing so difficult to achieve. It is said in the Bhagavatam that muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma kothishvapi mahamune. Out of many persons who have attained the stage of mukti, and out of many, many persons who have attained all the great mystic perfections, sudurlabha, it is very, very rare to find even one Narayana Parayana, one pure devotee of Narayana. But such a person, only the selfless, causeless servant of Lord Narayana, is peaceful, because he alone has achieved his natural, original, constitutional position. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahoitiki apruti hata yajatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which awakens the spirit of unmotivated, uninterrupted loving service to the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya has said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Koriye Udoi. That pure love of God, pure devotion, is within the heart of everyone. By chanting God's names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and by serving Guru and the Vaishnavas, that is all that is required to awaken that natural love within our heart. In fact, Lochan Das Thakur has said, Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Saba Avatara Sara Siromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Tava Avatara Sarasiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. That the process of Krishna consciousness is simply joyful. Chanting, dancing, taking nice Krishna prasad. Then why is it that it is so rare? Here we find the answer to this question. Because while engaging in the process of devotional service, chanting the holy names, sravanam kirtanam smarana bandana pada sevana dasire pujana saki jana atmani vedana, while engaging in these nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, such a simple, wonderful process, sufferings will come upon you. They must come upon you for our purification. By the will of the Lord. And one who, in the face of these difficulties, is able to thank Krishna, to be grateful to Krishna, and offer obeisances with one's heart, with one's words, and with one's body, only such a person is eligible to enter into the supreme abode of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains in the six principles of surrender to always depend exclusively on Krishna and to receive whatever comes into our life as His mercy. A devotee knows out of his humility that in this life and in so many previous lives I have been so sinful. I have committed so many offenses to the Lord, so many offenses to other living beings, so many offenses to my own soul. And therefore, for what I have done, I deserve to be cast into the lowest, most degraded, hellish conditions imaginable. I do not deserve even a human life. I deserve to be burning in the flames of hell. I deserve to be struggling in the animal species. Every sincere devotee feels this way about himself. How can we not? The Lord is giving us everything, and He's been giving us everything since time immemorial. And we have been moment after moment, birth after birth, just trampling on His head, spitting on His mercy, neglecting with an ungrateful heart everything He is doing. For a devotee with a sincere heart, to forget Krishna even for a second, he feels that he deserves to be cast into the lowest position of suffering. Therefore, when suffering comes upon a devotee considers, my Lord Sri Krishna, my beloved Sri Radharani, they are so merciful. They are so kind. They are minimizing all the sufferings I deserve to only this much, only a little particle. Knowing that this is the mercy of the Lord for our purification, such a devotee is grateful. An insincere person, when suffering comes, he complains, I am Krishna's devotee, why is he doing this for me? I have surrendered my life, I have given up so much for him, he is the supreme controller, why is this happening to me? Why am I suffering? Why am I losing respectability? Why am I losing all my wealth? Why am I losing everything? Actually, Maharaj Yudhisthira, at one point, was thinking like this. He was such a devotee, he never even in his mind even considered, from the day of his birth, any immoral activity. And he was 100% surrendered to Lord Sri Krishna. And so were all of his brothers, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev. But yet, Krishna, he put them in that burning house in Varnataka where they barely escaped for their life. Fed his brother Bhima deadly poison. Krishna allowed these things to happen. He is Sarveshwareshwara. He is the controller of all controllers. Not even a blade of grass can move without his sanction. And then Krishna allowed this evil-minded Shakuni to assist Duryodhana in the gambling match and cheat them. And right before their eyes, seeing the embarrassment of Draupadi, who is the most chaste and virtuous of all ladies, she didn't deserve that, such humiliation. And then they were banished into the forest where they lost all their wealth, all their kingdom, all their prestige, all their respectability. They lost everything and they had to be hiding like criminals, disguising themselves, begging for food. Krishna took away absolutely everything from them, not just for a few minutes, but for 14 long years. And Yudhisthira was thinking, we have surrendered everything to you. You are the husband of the goddess of fortune. Instead of giving, you've taken everything. You've left us nothing. And Krishna spoke to Maharaj Yudhisthira. Yasyaham anagrinami harishyetadhanam shanai. When I am merciful to my devotee, I give my devotee everything my devotee wants. But when I show my supreme compassion upon my devotee, I take everything away. I take away all of his wealth. I turn his family members against him. I turn the whole society against him. People blaspheme him, spit on him, care nothing for him. And then my devotee, with a humble heart, turns to me, knowing there is no one else to go to, seeking my mercy as his only refuge in life. That is my compassion. That is my mercy. In fact, in our own spiritual master, our Guru Maharaj, he would often tell us in his own life, when he was just about 21 years old, he met his Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who told him, you know, this took place at one Ultadanga Junction Road in Calcutta. Guru Maharaj came before Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who was sitting on his Vyasasan, and he bowed down, and Bhakti Siddhanta gave him an instruction right then. You are an intelligent young man. You should spread the glories of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the English language all over the world. And our Srila Prabhupada was thinking, what is this? I do not even know this sadhu. I've never seen him before. And he's giving me a lifelong mission? Anyways, he presented certain arguments. At that time, he was a follower of Mahatma Gandhi. And how can we do this? First, this is a luxury. This spreading of God consciousness is a luxury. The first thing is we must get independence from the British. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that politics are always changing. One party, another party, another party, another party. And with all the changes of all the politicians, what benefits does the world experience? The first and most important of all necessities is the need to love Krishna. It is the only single problem in the whole creation is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And it is an emergency. No matter who's in power, still you have to grow old, get diseased, and die. That's the problem. And unless you become Krishna conscious in this life, your human life is wasted. That is the problem. Therefore, now there is an urgent emergency need to spread the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching throughout the world. So Srila Prabhupada was convinced. But at the same time, he just had his first child, he was married. But after that, he was always anxious in his Grihastha ashram to come and see his Gurudev. And to whatever money he could get, he would give to his Gurudev's missions. He would always be associating with his godbrothers. Most of them were sannyasis and brahmacharis. And he was always having kirtan with them and discussing Bhagavatam with them. And he was always helping them in their preaching. In fact, when he was doing business here in Bombay, he established with two of his godbrothers the first Gaudiya Math temple here in Bombay. So he was always anxious to help. But at the same time, he had other responsibilities. So what happened? But in his heart, he was always simply learning, longing, longing and longing, aspiring to just give up all these things and just do his guru's work. Nothing else. Huh? So at one time, his whole business failed. Although he was trying very hard, it just was a complete failure. And his family members were all complaining to him, and his wife didn't want to help him with his preaching at all. She just wanted to live a comfortable life and be a pious devotee of Krishna. She didn't want to help others in any way. She didn't want to make sacrifices. His children also, they were not interested. And he lost practically all of his money in some reversal in his business. Now, an ordinary materialistic man would be in great anxiety. But Srila Prabhupada was in ecstasy. When all of this happened, he chanted this sloka. Yasyaham anagrinnami harishyata dhanam shanai. When Krishna shows his supreme compassion upon his devotee, he takes everything away so he has nothing else to turn to except Krishna. So Guru Maharaj simply left his wife, left his family, went to Vrindavan. Vrindavan dham ki! And there, he first was living near Keshi Ghat, then he was living at Bamsi Gopal Mandir, then Radha Damodar Mandir. When he came to Vrindavan, he had not even one paisa. He had nothing. Whatever little he had, he just left it to his family and said, Haribol. And they were just complaining, what nonsense, how can you leave us? This is not proper. You must stay till the fag end of your life, you must be our servant. Srila Prabhupada just said Haribol and left and went to Vrindavan Dham. And there, although he had nothing, he had one great treasure, the determination to serve his Guru Maharaj. And he remained in Vrindavan for about 6 years. And then when he was 70 years old, he decided, now, before I die, I must do my guru's mission. And without any money at all, without knowing anybody, he was given a little space on a cargo ship, a boat across the Atlantic. He had several heart attacks on the way. Came to America, terrible place, cold winter, sinful people, meat eaters everywhere. Nobody knew anything about Krishna. There had never been a Vaishnav there before. Huh? And he just sat in a park and chanted, playing a little drum, a little Mexican drum, not even an Indian drum someone gave him. And he was just chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And gradually, by speaking the teachings of Bhagavatam, people started coming. And within the next 11 years, he traveled around the world 12 times and opened 150 temples. And tens and thousands of disciples. How is it possible? Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that when I was leaving my home, I was thinking, how will I live without my children? But now he has given me tens and thousands of children much better than my other children. In this way, he was very anxious to teach us this particular verse, that we should know that Krishna's mercy and his love is behind everything that happens in our life. And sometimes to illustrate this point, our Guru Maharaj used to tell a story. That one time there was a king, and he had a prime minister. And this prime minister was a very, very great devotee of Lord Krishna. So, whenever anything happened in the king's life, the minister would always give him the same analysis, that this is Krishna's mercy. Just remember Krishna. For every situation, he would just tell him that. So one time, the king, he was out, and he was hunting or something, and somehow or other, he cut off his finger by accident. So the king was very angry, very upset. And he came to his minister and said, why? Why did this happen to me? I'm such a pious king. What did I do wrong? And the minister said, because it is Krishna's mercy. Huh? The king said, what kind of nonsense is this? Krishna's mercy. My finger get cut off? This is blasphemy. You're saying this is the will of God? You go to jail. So he put the prime minister in jail. The prime minister went to jail and was thinking, this is also Krishna's mercy. So then the king was out in another, he installed another person who was always envious of this other minister. He made him the prime minister in his place. And they went out hunting again. And when they were in a hunting expedition, somehow or other, the king and his prime minister, they went out some ways away from others, and a band of dacoits captured them. And they were worshippers of Kali Mata. And they wanted to perform a human sacrifice. So they took the king, and they decided, oh, this will be very pleasing to Kali to offer a king to her. So they gave him a ceremonial bath, and they decorated him with all nice garlands and all nice silken clothes, And then they put nice sandalwood pulp on him. And then they took him before the goddess Kali and put his head on the chopping block. And there was a man there with a big axe, and he was ready to cut off his head. And the king was trembling in fear. But then the high priest, he noticed that half of his thumb was cut off. He said, "Huh? We cannot offer this man. He is imperfect. Huh? Only a perfect man, only a whole human being can be offered to Kali. He is not a whole. He has something missing, half of his thumb. So therefore, release him." But then they took his prime minister. He had all his fingers. So they said, the priest said, "He is a good man." So they put him on the chopping block and cut off his head. Bus. He was dead. So the king was released. So the king was thinking, my minister was right. It was Krishna's mercy that my thumb was cut off. Because if my thumb was not cut off, my head would have been cut off. So great mercy. So he went back to the minister. And he just went to the jail cell and offered his dandavats, and "I'm very sorry, you were correct. It was Krishna's mercy. Otherwise I would have been killed. Please come back and be my prime minister." So he came back. But then the king asked the prime minister, "But I have one question about this mercy of Krishna you're talking about. That, yes, I can understand how it was mercy to me that this thumb cutting off saved my life. Krishna knows past, present, and future. But why did Krishna allow me to treat you so unfairly to put you in jail?" And the minister said, "That was really Krishna's mercy. Because if I was with you, I would have gotten my head cut off." So in this way, a devotee has complete faith that whatever comes into our life, really and truly, it is the absolute best thing possible for our own Krishna consciousness. If we are sincere, we should know whatever situation we are in is the perfect arrangement of God for us to become pure in our devotional service. If we simply are sincere, you see, simply deal with each situation according to the instructions of Guru and the Vaishnava. To never act independently. So a devotee with this faith, it is explained, he earnestly waits for the causeless mercy of the Lord upon him. A devotee never complains. Why is this happening to me? Huh? Complaining means to be ungrateful. A devotee glorifies God in every situation of life and thanks God for every moment of life, however it may appear. Because factually, if you're not willing to receive with a grateful heart the mercy that comes in the form of suffering and pain, then you will not be able, you will be unable to receive that this mercy of the Lord when it comes in joy. Either you accept everything as Krishna's mercy, or you must accept that nothing is Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna is perfect and complete. A devotee does not thank God for some things and complain to God about other things. That means he's ultimately ungrateful for everything. We must thank God for everything, however it appears. It is his love. It is his mercy. Because we still have some fragments of material desire left in our heart, Krishna has to burn those away by putting us in distressful conditions. In fact, our own Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, He would so much love to glorify the wonderful Leela of Vrindavan. But so often he would explain to us the miseries of material world. And he was saying, for a neophyte devotee, it is equally important to hear the miseries of material life as it is to hear the glories of Krishna Leela. Because until we are convinced that this material place is a place of suffering, it is a place we do not want to be, we cannot really hear the Leela of Vrindavan. We're hearing, but we're not hearing. We're hearing, but our mind is still thinking, oh, if I only had this, and I only had this, and I only had this. When we realize the miseries of material existence, when we hear the Leela of Brijbhumi, we take shelter of it. We long for it. But as long as we're still attached to material life, when we hear those Leela, it is just like a form of entertainment. Huh? Like people going to the cinema. Huh? There's purification. But the purification comes to the extent that we're taking refuge, that we're seeking shelter in Krishna's Leela. We're seeking shelter in Krishna's name. That is why we have to suffer in this world. Because if everything was always very nice in this world, we would just, oh yes, Krishna is very nice. Oh yes, his name is very nice. Yes, his Leela is very nice. But when we are in a suffering condition, we are just thirsting for the mercy of the Lord. We're weeping and crying for his mercy. We're taking refuge and shelter in his name and his pastimes. There's nothing else. There's nowhere else to go. Therefore, the distresses that come into our life are really the greatest benedictions. Because they force us with feeling and intense urgency to cry out Krishna's name. Draupadi was always chanting Krishna's name. But when her chastity was about to be spoiled and Dushasana was pulling her robe, she wasn't just chanting Krishna's name. She was crying out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." And Krishna appeared to save her by incarnating as an unlimited sari. Draupadi was put in the most terrible possible suffering a woman could be in. To lose her life was not difficult, but to lose her chastity was worse and more painful than death. We find throughout history, Krishna puts his devotees often in the most difficult suffering conditions. And if we are sincere, we say, Krishna, if this is what kind of God you are, I'll worship somewhere else. Huh? And if we're sincere, if we're actually sincere, then when the sufferings come, we will think, oh Krishna, how merciful, how kind. Now you are making me quite aware that I have no one but you to take shelter of. That this body, this world, I care nothing for any of it. I am seeking shelter of the spiritual world. And this patience, and this faith, and this gratitude in the execution of our spiritual activities, it is explained here, is the price for entrance into the divine Leela of the Lord. Tateno kampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vibhagam ridvag vapur vir vidatam namaste jivetya mukti pade sadayava. Is there any questions? Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki. there any questions? Yes?
This doubt used to, we used to get it that why is it so that when Prabhupada...
Hadiwa.
Why is it so that Prabhupada, at leaving the age of 70 years, and he was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world within 12, 13 years itself?
Let me tell you something else about our Gurudev. After he took sannyas, he did not want to take sannyas because he was very humble. He was a very humble person, very simple, very humble Vaishnava. But his Guru Maharaj appeared to him 3 times in dreams, ordering him, "You must take sannyas." Huh? And then his own godbrother, one Bhakti Pragya Keshav Maharaj, who has an ashram in Mathura, this is in Vrindavan, he used to come to Vrindavan, and Prabhupada would visit him in Mathura, and Keshav Maharaj would say, "You must take sannyas. Gurudev wants you to take sannyas." So finally he said, "All right, if that is the will of my godbrothers and that is the will of my Guru Maharaj, I will take sannyas." So he took sannyas. He took these sacred vows. And the day he took sannyas, he was walking down the road in Vrindavan, and a big, big bull came up to him and took the horn and stabbed Gurudev in the stomach and knocked him to the ground. He was an old man, and he was laying on the side of the road in the dirt, in the laying, just laying there helplessly in tremendous pain. And he was thinking, just see how merciful Lord Krishna is, that I surrendered to him and now he is rewarding me. You understand? You're thinking if you surrender, something like taking sannyas, such a big surrender, you'll get some adorations, people will give you garlands. Krishna just threw him in the gutter and used one of his bowls. Huh? Prabhupada was thinking, Krishna is very merciful to me. Yes, go on.
So when we see it, that as in such a short span of time of 12, 13 years, he was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, after Prabhupada left this world, he had 120 centers and many brahmacharis, many sannyasis and all other people also, many of them given their whole life to Krishna consciousness. And they are also following whatever Prabhupada is saying. But we could not find a single person like Prabhupada who could do the same thing the way Prabhupada has done in such a short span of time. So what is the problem in us that we could not do the thing which Prabhupada... I'm not saying about the spiritual success of material success of 120 centers or this way, but the spiritual advancement which Prabhupada did in such a short span of time, that what is the problem in us that why we are not able to do the same thing, and what is lacking in us? Although we are following him, yet...
You should not try to judge others. But to the extent we surrender to Krishna, to that extent he empowers us. We can just have, we can never understand, but we can get some little glimpse to the extent that Prabhupada surrenders his entire life to his Gurudev and Krishna. And to that extent, how much he was empowered to do so many wonderful things in such a short amount of time. Prabhupada never claimed that anything was his. He never felt it was his mission. He never felt it was his disciples. He never felt it was his temples. He felt it was all the property of his Guru Maharaj. And he was simply the humble servant. That was always his consciousness, and that was the consciousness that he always taught us to have in every circumstance in life. Yes.
Maharaj, you said if our business flops, then it's again God's mercy. But how do, if or business flops, it's God's mercy. But how do we know that it is God's mercy or it is because of our own neglect and laziness, because of being complacent?
It's God's mercy either way. If you neglect it, it's God's mercy to show you that you shouldn't be so neglectful, rascal. Right? And if you do it nicely, it's God's mercy to show you that maybe He wants you to renounce all of these things and do something. Everything is Krishna's mercy. But if you do nonsense, don't blame Krishna. If you perform sinful activities and you get a reaction, you should understand it is the mercy of God is to punish me, to teach me to never do it again. But if you're working with all of your might and it still fails, then you should understand it's God's mercy that whatever I do, I should just do it for Him and not be attached to the results. There is something to learn in every situation of the Lord in Krishna's arrangements. But not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. And everything that He gives to His devotee is out of love and mercy. And if you are living in Barasana Dham, you should know everything is Radharani's grace. And her grace is that she has sent these illustrious, effulgent Brijavasis to show us the path of real devotion. That is really the mercy of Sri Radharani. And we are so thankful. Jai Sri Radhe. Any other questions?
We're talking about Prabhupada, of course, but even in more recent time, our Hayagriva, who had some desires that he had a hard time giving up, that Krishna helped him so much by giving him cancer. And I remember being in his room one day, and he told me, he said, I cannot even think of any form of sense gratification. So he had quite a hard time controlling his senses, but by Krishna's arrangement, he got a complete distaste for any kind of sense gratification before leaving his body. And just because he rendered some service that was pleasing to his spiritual master, he got such mercy.
For the sake of our Brijavasi Vaishnavas, I'd like to tell a little of the story of what he just said. One of our Guru Maharaj's first disciples, his name is Hayagriva Das. He met Srila Prabhupada in New York City in 1966. And he helped him in so many ways. He was a professor of English. So Srila Prabhupada was writing translations and commentaries for Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was helping edit the work so it would be in a type of English that people can understand nicely. So he helped in many ways. But because of his past, he was very much addicted to sense enjoyment. So although he was trying to serve his Gurudev, the sinful desires just kept overwhelming him. And ultimately, he left the temple, he left Guru Seva, and he was performing many, many, many sinful activities. Many sinful activities. But Srila Prabhupada, he would always lovingly ask, how is our Hayagriva? He would hardly even come to see Guru Maharaj, because he was so ashamed. He was so ashamed that Guru Maharaj has given me so much, and what am I doing in return? Simply enjoying my senses. I cannot stop it. And he was doing abominable things. But then just a few years back, All of a sudden, he was here in India. He was at Goa, living on a beach in Goa, enjoying his senses. And he started getting terrible pains in his back. So he went back to America and he saw a doctor, and he told him that you have cancer of the back and you have only a few months to live, then you will die. At first, he was terrified that my life is about to end. I'm in such pain, terrible pain. Why is this happening to me? But then, by Guru's grace, he had a realization that this is Krishna's mercy. This is the only possible way I would be able to give up sense gratification and take complete shelter of Krishna. So he went to New Vrindavan, and there he spent day and night just hearing the Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name of Krishna. And when Sri Galim Prabhu was explaining, and I also have personal experience, I would spend hours with him. He would just be crying tears, saying, I have no regret. I am not sorry at all that I have this cancer. I'm thanking Krishna. If Krishna gave me any less pain or any more time to live, I would have continued to waste my life. This is the perfect remedy for all of my disease. My only regret is that so much of my time that I could have served my Gurudev and helped his mission, I wasted in sense enjoyment. That is the only regret I have in my life. And he was thanking Krishna and thanking Guru Maharaj for giving him this most wonderful benediction. He said, this is the greatest thing that ever happened in my life, that I got this cancer. And he was thankful. He was a personification of this verse, Tatenu kampam susamikshamano punjana evatmakritam vipagam ridbhagva purvir vidadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. He could not walk. He could not sit. He was just laying in a bed in so much pain, terrible, terrible pain, for months. And he was just all day, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And just begging the devotees, come, recite Bhagavatam to me. And day and night, practically always, there were just tears in his eyes, and he was with folded palms thanking Krishna. Thank you so much for putting me in this situation. This is your causeless mercy. Let me always remember you. And he perfected his life. He left his body in the association of devotees, chanting the holy names of the Lord. Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, what is the use of having a long, 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 long life wasted in material consciousness? Better to live for one moment in consciousness of Krishna. When Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days, he was a young man. He understood this verse. With folded palms, he was thanking Krishna. Thank you for this benediction. In this 7 days, let me sit at the lotus feet of Shukadeva Goswami and hear the Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami and all the great saints, all the sadhus assembled, they all accepted that Maharaj Parikshit was most fortunate for having cursed to die in 7 days. It was not a curse, it was a blessing. Because he took it as God's mercy, in those 7 days he perfected his life. Our Hayagriva Das, who later, in this, he was so addicted to sinful activities, but in that 3 months he took sannyas, and he became a staunch sannyasi. What else could he be? He perfected his life in a few months. So these are practical examples in our own life of how it is very possible for any of us to attain the supreme perfection of life by just learning how to be grateful for Krishna's mercy in however it comes, and to show our gratitude by chanting his holy names from our heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we thank Sri Galim Prabhu for kindly reminding us of this most perfect illustration of how this verse is really the foremost jewel of all verses, because through understanding this verse alone and applying it to our life, we will become perfect, perfect devotees of Radha Gopinath. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.